Today's centering words, even when we forget that God watches over us, God loves and redeems us. And now the prelude.
We'll go ahead and do joys and concerns.
All right.
Friends, are there any joys and concerns this morning? Don Wakeman has passed away yesterday morning, so prayers for the Wakeman family as they grieve the loss. Yep, Linda. Any other prayers we can lift up this morning? Friends, if not, I'll go ahead and invite you to center yourself as we prepare for worship.
Thank you. Would you join me now in today's call to worship and stand as you feel comfortable in doing so? Come from the busyness and the business of the day. We come to let go of the ways of the world. Come and turn aside the temptations to do the things that are only done in the shadows. we come to embrace what God offers us, God's presence and unconditional love. Come, however hesitantly, to find refuge in the way to live in Christ's greater love. Join me now in today's opening prayer. As we come before you, God, in the presence of our sisters and brothers, help us look honestly at our lives and see what you want to be. Help us perceive the things and attitudes we need to change as we open ourselves to your healing presence. Fill us with the spirit of your love and wholeness. Amen. Join me now in this morning's opening hymn, Come Christians, Join to Sing, number 158 in the United Methodist Hymnal.
You may be seated, and would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we give you thanks that we can gather today, that we can worship you with one another, that we can lift our voices and sing and find joy. Lord, we pray for those who have lost loved ones. We pray especially for Linda and the Wakeman family, that they might find peace in this time of grief and sorrow. Lord, we pray for all of the people in this church who put their time and their talents into helping us do your work and follow your mission. Lord, bless each of us as we serve one another. And God, we pray that whatever is on our hearts, whether it be heavy or light, whether it be fleeting or constant, Lord, we pray that you listen, that you hear us, and that you walk with us as we find a path through. Almighty God, we give you thanks and we give you praise, now and forevermore. And all the people said, Amen. Amen. Friends, with the confidence of the children of God, we invite you to pray with us the prayer that Christ has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Kids, come on up.
Kids out of the pews. I think we've all done it. Well, hello you two and everybody out there at church today. How's your summer going? Pretty good. Uh-oh. How's baseball? Not so good. Well, I want you to look behind us and see what's up on the altar today. Did you kind of wonder why we have all that up there? We had vacation Bible school this past week, and I know I missed you guys. But I know we have a busy summer, but we had 10 kids here, and we had a great time. So our theme this year was called Catch the Wave. Do you have any idea what Catch the Wave means? Would you guys, it was kind of one I didn't quite understand either, what that would mean for church, catching the wave. What do waves do when they hit the beach? They crash. They make an impact on that shore, don't they? We have little waves. We've got big waves. Have you ever been to the beach to see those waves? Or a lake? Or a river? Yeah, you've been on them. And so you can see that the waves make a big impact on the shore. And so our theme this year for Catch the Wave meant we want to make an impact in others' lives, just like Jesus makes an impact in our lives. So why would we want to make an impact? If you guys remember Anne Marie on her last day here, she had you all standing up here holding a circle, holding hands, and made a heart. And she said, you live in what town? In Hartport. I live in Fort Dodge. Can I make an impact into Hartport and you into Fort Dodge by our love with Jesus? We can. Can we make it over there in Holland or in Japan, Russia, Ukraine? Can we make an impact? How do we follow Jesus? How can we help others follow Jesus by what we do? What kind of impact could you make on others? By doing what? Oh, you could absolutely make an impact. How would you make an impact with those friends and cousins in Minnesota? What would you do? See them and you can pray for them, right? What else can you do to show Jesus' love? Show others how much you love Jesus. What else can you do to make an impact on others? You can pray for them. You can care for them. What about maybe reading the Bible? What about singing and sharing your time and talent in church? Those are all things that show others how much God means to you. So when we want to make a wave, we kind of challenged everybody to make sure that we share our love, our time, our talents with others. Because if you are showing Jesus love and shining Jesus light, it'll make an impact on others too. So we want to continue to make little waves, and sometimes we really want to knock the ball out of the park and make a big wave. All right? So one of the things that I really enjoyed this past week was meeting new friends. So while I missed you two, because they've been in my Sunday school, I met a lot of new 3-, 4-, 5-year-olds. And you know what was most fun for me? I really got to know 2 high school students, Kira and Christian. Both helped out with camp. And so how cool is it to see our high school students sitting here helping out with Vacation Bible School and sharing their love? They made an impact on our younger kids. It was really, to me, it was really fun. So I challenge all of you, as you want to go out and make waves, make an impact on others, look at serving these kids. It fills your cup. So we have that opportunity here in this church. So let's say a prayer, shall we? All right, dear Lord, help us make waves. Help us show others how important It is to follow Jesus. Let's go make waves. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 18, here we go, verses 1 through 10, where we read, "The Lord appeared to Abram by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, 'My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that, that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant.' So they said, 'Do as you have said.' And Abram hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, 'Make ready quickly three measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes.' Abram ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set them before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, 'Where is your wife Sarah?' And he said, 'There in the tent.' Then one said, 'I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son.' And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him." Join with me now enjoying our special music today. Who am I?
Friends, at this time we have our moment of offering, which is to say, it's a moment we get to remember that God is
good and provides for each and every one of us. Maybe not necessarily how we expect, but nevertheless, God provides. Friends, if you'd like to partner with us in ministry to keep not only the lights on and the speakers running in this church so that we can worship with one another, but also so that we can support organizations in our community to be the hands and feet of Christ, we invite you to go ahead and make an offering today, either in the church or online, or send a check, whatever you need to do. But friends, it is by all of our faithfulness and all of our gratitude and generosity that we can continue to do the work that God has called us to do. So friends, regardless today what you're moved to do, may we all remember that God is good and that God will take care of us.
Almighty God, bless these offerings that we have given. Lord, just as you first gave them to us, may we return them to you so that our communities may be blessed, that the people around us, our neighbors, that they may be cared for. And Lord, may our hearts be softened. May our hands be opened. May we be a generous and a grateful people so that your kingdom, we might build it alongside of you. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. So friends, I invite you to sing with us our next hymn, Fairest Lord Jesus, which can be found up on the screens or in your blue hymnal on 189.
Friends, you may be seated. Our gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her, then, to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, but few things are needed. Indeed, only one. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The good news of Jesus Christ, and all the people said, Amen. Now, this is a dangerous question to ask from the pulpit, but do you ever sit in the pews, listen to a preacher, and think to yourselves, they have no idea what they're talking about? Go ahead, nod your heads yes. It's not all that long ago I was sitting where you're sitting, and every once in a while, sometimes I'll listen to a preacher and think, I wonder how they came to that conclusion. Amen? Amen. I feel that way with Jesus in this story here. Martha, Martha, why are you worrying? Why are you so focused on everything that needs to get done? There's only one thing that's needed. And Mary chose the better of it, right? Maybe. How many of you feel like that? I mean, how many of you have heard this passage over and over and over? It's an oldie. It's a goodie. You either love it or you hate it or you love to hate it. Because quite honestly, it's a strange passage and it doesn't quite offer many answers. It only offers questions. For example, what about all the work that has to be done? How much work do you have to do? Go ahead, how much work do you have to do? What are you going to do when you go home? How many of you are going to mow like I do? On a Sunday? I know, right? See, I think this is the problem, or at least this is what the gospel is asking us to wrestle with in a passage like this. Throughout this past week, I don't quite know where time went, and yet it feels like it was an eternity. We had VBS. I was tasked at home to figure out how to set up a laundry system. Amen? How well do you think it went? Give me another week and we'll figure it out, right? But from Monday through today, it seemed like there was always something to do. I had to get through tons of laundry. We had to come and have fun at VBS. We had the normal church work that happened. Not only that, but you know that there's illnesses going around Fort Dodge again, right? And it seems like round two in my house is going to be a never-ending thing. Things come up over and over and over. There's always work to be done, little things here and there. And yet, there's also moments of grace and joy in the midst of all of this. And if we're not careful, what happens? You blink, and they're gone. How many of you knew that Nora lost her first tooth this week? Right here. She also figured out that you can use scissors to cut hair as well.
And Ben is starting the potty train. Hallelujah! Well, let's get him out of diapers first, right? And Susan is wandering, not even wandering anymore, but running around the house at breakneck speeds. And she's finally found ways to get into, say it with me, it starts with a T, trouble. The kids continue to grow. There's moments of brightness and life that were in that house this week. And friends, those are just the highlights. Those are just the things that I can remember what happened as I was in and out of the house, taking care of all of those tasks and checkboxes that I had to get marked off. Because, you know, the work never ends. I remember it was probably a few years ago by now. I don't even want to count. But I had to buy a car. I don't like buying cars, friends. Does anyone here like that challenge? No one? Well, I'm in good company then. It makes me feel so nervous. You're spending tons of money on something where you never quite know if it's going to be a lemon or if it's going to last you at least enough time where you can pay off the car loan. But I said to my dad, hey, you used to sell cars. You should come and help. He said, yes, I used to sell cars, and yes, I can come. He said nothing about helping. And it wasn't until we were in the sales room before I realized that I was on my own. And he was there for moral support at best. I don't think I got a good deal out of that car. But the conversation after I had signed my name on that bottom line has stuck with me all those many years. See, my dad used to sell cars, and he doesn't make that fact known whenever we walk into a dealership. But this time, he decided to talk with the salesperson. And they asked him, so what do you do? Well, I'm a pastor, but I used to sell cars. Well, why'd you get out of it? That's a dangerous question, friends. And it struck me, it hit me, what he said. And it's one of those moments where I don't know if parents realize that their children are actually listening to them. But he said, I spent too many weeks working 70 hours, and I missed too many games and concerts and moments in my children's lives. How many of you have been there before? That's the worst part about it, isn't it? Doesn't matter how often you work, it seems like there's always another moment that we should have been at. But here's the tension with the gospel today. Here's the tension with Scripture that God is telling us to wrestle with. The Old Testament reading. This is the oaks of Mamre or Mamre or however you pronounce that. Where Abraham's just chilling at his tent and three strangers pop up out of nowhere. And you know what my favorite part of this is? Or at least probably the part that Abraham should have gotten more flack about. They come and they pop up and he turns to Sarah and what does he say? Sarah, go prepare a feast while I hang out with our guests. That's fair, isn't it? Have you ever crunched the numbers? Have you ever calculated how much food Sarah actually makes? It's absurd. It's a ridiculous amount of food. And yet, what's fascinating about that piece of Scripture is that that's a blessing. Sarah is commended and celebrated, and Abram too, for doing that. So where's the line here? I think that's the question we have to wrestle with this passage today. Where's the line between the work that we're called to do and the moments that we're called to be a part of? Because in many ways, this is what Jesus is trying to tell Martha. See, he's close to going to Jerusalem. He's on his way. And in Jerusalem lies a cross. And there's not quite a whole lot of time left with Jesus. And so he tells Martha, no, you got to understand, there are important things and there are seasons. And here, now, I'm with you. And you won't always have that. In fact, he says that later on when he has his feet perfumed. It's the question we have to wrestle with in our own lives, in the lives of the church. Where is that line? What is the work that needs to get done? And what is the stuff that just keeps us busy? Or maybe that's not the right question either. Maybe the better question is this. How can we see Christ in the midst of all of it? How can we be aware of the presence of God and the joy within the lives of our loved ones, even in the midst of our work? And how can we be aware enough to know when it's time to take a break? You'll notice that out of the Ten Commandments, it's the Sabbath that comes pretty quickly and, in fact, is pretty important. And it's one of the few spiritual practices that are elevated to that standard. It's something that we as Americans wrestle with. Or at least we should be. Because how much work is there to be done? How much? I know you're smiling and nodding your heads. There's a lot, isn't there? If we're honest with ourselves, there's a lot. But here's the truth today. We need to take the time to reflect. We need to take the time to sit down and say, these are the important things in life. Both for us as individuals and families. What is truly important for each of us as we try and navigate our way through growing up? Any adults in here still feel like kids? I know, right? What is truly important? What is the utmost importance to our families? But also, how can we find Christ in the busyness and not lose sight of that glory and that grace and that compassion and that gentleness? Because as we continue to reflect on missions, being the hands and the feet of Christ, what it means to be servants, the danger is that we get so focused on the doing or the giving or the fundraising or the work that we lose sight of the purpose of all of it. Because Lord knows it's hard enough. It's hard enough to see heaven break through, even when we are paying attention. How many of you came looking for an answer today? No one? Good! May you wrestle with these questions. I give you permission to take some time and just think on them. Hold them in your heart no matter how painful or terrifying they are. Because it's worth it. Because it's absolutely worth it. So go home today. Reflect on what's important. Take a moment to puzzle through how to see Christ even in the midst of all of the daily tasks that we have to do. And friends, may you never forget that it is the glory and the grace of God that fills us up day in and day out, that will help us continue to do the work that God has called us to do. Amen. Amen.
Friends, I invite you to stand as you're able. I was told this is a Christmas hymn. I mean, it's Advent, but also it is July, and it's a tradition in my family to have some sort of Christmas in July. Hallelujah? Hallelujah. Friends, go ahead and stand up and join us in this hymn as we remember that it is Christ that guides us through our lives. Friends, I invite you to affirm our faith and our intention as we reflect on what it means to be servants of Christ. We are called to serve everyone and everything in the name of Christ for the glory of God and the salvation of the world. Every single day, everything we need, the Spirit will give. So we may, here and now, have the courage to share our wealth with those in need and be ready to serve at a moment's notice. May we hold fast to the good news of God's love, seeking grace and life over laws devoid of compassion, so that the Holy Spirit might renew the face of the earth through the hands and the hearts of the servants of Christ, no matter the cost, no matter the work, no matter the weight, till kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. May it be so. Amen. So, friends, may the Almighty God bless you and keep you, go with you, and give you grace, even in the midst of your work. May your minds and your eyes and your ears be able to see and hear and feel the love of Christ in all things, so that the glory of God might be known and the salvation of the Lord might be all over the face of the earth. Go with God, and God will go with you. And all the people said, Amen. Friends, it's a Sabbath day. Go, enjoy it, and rest. Spend time with your families and your loved ones and rejoice. Our service has ended.